Welcome to Collective Culture, a podcast where we discuss Twitter, youth, participatory journalism, and social movements. Today, we'll be wrapping up the conversation, forming conclusions from the data that we've presented throughout the series.
Hello, and welcome back to our fifth and final podcast, where we will kind of conclude and share our final remarks. So without further ado, let's get into it. So looking at our quantitative and qualitative data collected over the past few weeks, it became evident that there were, you know, similarities between what the professionals were saying and the data collected from Twitter. And due to the advancement of technology and the ease of access to social media platforms, people are able to, you know, stay informed about current issues and events such as these three key movements. And with our 150 tweets that we collected as a quantitative data from the three movements, it was evident that Twitter allowed for a fast spread of ongoing information, you know, whether it was about the movement, a link to an article on the movement, or even the date, time, location of a demonstration that was going to take place. And digital activism played a crucial role in all three movements, which were so evidently shown through the youth on Twitter and their tweets that were collected and placed into the relevant categories shown in figure one. 2010 was, you know, when online and digital activism started to really go mainstream, which, for example, Arab Spring played a huge role in. As previously mentioned, the speed at which information was able to be conveyed and spread across the social media platforms allowed for many of the protests across the Arab world to have such large turnout rates. And the fact that something so small can turn into a world phenomenon, from a police officer and a Tunisian street vendor arguing over fruit and vegetables cart to a two-year anti-government revolution that had its impact both online and offline. And even though a focus is on Twitter, there were many articles that examined how Facebook was used to help, you know, schedule the protests that took place across many countries involved in the movement. Twitter was there to kind of help coordinate, bring awareness through hashtag activism and digital activism. And YouTube was there to kind of share to the world through videos on what's happening and what progress has been made. And so now we'll kind of bring it over to Molly to dive deeper in.
Awesome. Thanks, Bryson, for just kind of bringing in all those key areas that we were looking at during the series. To conclude, we're going to be really looking at the original research questions that we discussed, because we want to make sure to really like look into the insight we found and compare it to the original ideas that we had. So our first research question, to tie it in. So we are asking about how Twitter actually like facilitated and fostered an environment for participatory journalism in these three movements and in their success. So looking into this, there's several platform specific features on Twitter that we analyzed in our quantitative research that were essential for fostering the environment on Twitter. And so these two of these key features tie into each other. The first one is the hashtag feature, which we analyzed in our quantitative data, just looking at how important those hashtags were and in sharing information, in categorizing information, and just really like organizing protests, even with like dates for hashtags, was so crucial for all three of these movements. And that was a common theme that we all found. Another key feature is the trending tab in Twitter, and this ties into hashtags as well. Seeing what the trending hashtags are and also the trending topics on Twitter was a huge propagator for all of these movements. The Arab Spring hashtag was the top one in the world when a point like Bryson was talking about when it was going on, and YoSoy132 was second in the world during the peak in May and June of 2011, and Black Lives Matter, of course, was beyond trending. It was right at the top for a huge period of time, just this year in 2020. And so just looking at that trending feature, it just shows how powerful the platform can be in spreading information to people that actually might not have access to it or might not be aware of it beforehand. And that's really important in gaining support and just spreading awareness more generally. And so our second question discusses comparing and contrasting how digital activism was used in all three movements on Twitter. And so I'm going to give it over to Sam for that one.
Yeah, so to kind of get into that, we took all of the data that we collected overall from the three movements, and we really kind of compared what each other had found and kind of went over that. And what we took from all of it was that it seemed that the more recent social movements and the more current social movements that have been happening in the past like 2-3 years have really fallen into this nuanced scale of just overall opinion. And it's not as much black and white as it was, for example, for Arab Spring and USOY 132, where it would be either you're here for it or you're against it. It's two categories. It could be like information or frustration if we're looking at our code book. But rather it's almost turned into a sense of like this lens that you look at and kind of evaluate the entire movement through. So for example, going through a ton of the tweets for Black Lives Matter, there was not really just one kind of idea. It was like not all lives matter versus Black Lives Matter, but it was these both matter or this matters, but I also think this. And it was a lot of just differing opinion. And it was really just on this kind of scale. That's why if we're looking at kind of some of our quantitative results, you can see in the Arab Spring one specifically that there are high number of one category over another, whereas the Black Lives Matter, the categories are pretty much spread across the board.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Like just looking at the quantitative data, which is a key part of our research, you really do see that there's more sentiments, like more categories that are present in Sam's research from Black Lives Matter. And yeah, that's a really key takeaway, just seeing how much more complex essentially like social media and using Twitter has become, and how many more sentiments are like available. Like you said, it's not like us against you. It's now like
yeah, for sure. It's beyond one sentiment. It's kind of just become, like I said, kind of this lens of looking at your life and kind of reevaluating things through this lens, and kind of a process of, we talked about this earlier, but a process of unlearning and then relearning in a new kind of context. So I think that's really just kind of a new mindset that's present for a ton of social movements, and something that we really picked up from this process overall.
Yeah, I think that even there's like new vocabulary, like you were saying, like learning, and there's a whole new set of vocabulary that was used in Black Lives Matter because it's the most recent movement, and so that's like really interesting, and we could almost use that as just a topic in and of itself, like if we could, like,
for sure we could talk about performative activism for an hour easy.
Oh totally. So that's a really interesting takeaway, and also like we would love to research that. It opens the door for more research in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And our third final question was asking to what extent youth participation in particular between the ages of 15 and 25 have played a significant role in digital activism and participatory journalism on the platform of Twitter. And we really found that in particularly in my scholarly sources that I found, Emilio Trere was a key source in looking at USOY 132 and also just social movements and participatory journalism more broadly. But he discussed how social media gave youth a sense of agency and belonging in the political sphere, which wasn't as prevalent beforehand. It wasn't something they experienced before, because although youth have traditionally always been critical of the way that the government is run and the way that like people that are in charge are running the country or the world, and that's shown in like different forms of like movements and protests, but social media and Twitter in specific gave youth a voice that they didn't have before. Maybe they didn't even have their driver's license, but suddenly they could actually speak up on political matters, and they could attend virtual protests and share information and be part of it. And so the role of youth was crucial. We agreed on as a group in these social movements on Twitter, because so many of these youth, even looking at the quantitative data, you just see there's so much quantitative data for us to analyze from this demographic, because they were such a key part of
The fact that they all became trending is proof right there that how large these movements are for these young people. Mm-hmm. Is usually for something to become trending, that age group that decides like kind of the interest factor, this idea of cool factor, this idea of current events.
No, exactly.
Yeah, like, sorry.
This is, and even using hashtags, the language in which this group was raised, like those millennials, almost like between the ages of 15 and 25, like more.
It's just a natural thing for them, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So do we
totally lead to that?
Did find that, and also connecting to like the vocabulary we found in our more qualitative research, that can like terms like collective identity, connective journalism, these all really tied into, they really enabled us to discuss, provided a framework for discussing youth participation and just like their incentive to participate, and also just like how they did it. So yeah, in conclusion, we found that to answer all three of these questions, that youth were a crucial part of all three protests online and all three movements online, and that there was some key nuances and differences between all three of the movements, but ultimately they shared the same sentiment, which was like user-generated news creation and like youth being active, and then also that Twitter was a key platform because of its specific features that the platform offers, such as the trending tab and also hashtags. So thank you for joining us. And that concludes our fifth podcast.